it still seems like there has to be a communication that is occurring at what exceeds the speed of light, virtually instantaneously. This is happening. Now there's an entanglement. Can you explain to me the manner of entanglement that causes this to happen?
Well, what I would say is that you can tell the story without ever using the idea of instantaneous change across very large distances. So the story is that if you and I both observe our particles and then later we meet up and we ask each other what happened, we will never both be saying that we observed our particles to be going counterclockwise. One of us will get one answer, the other will get the other answer. And then you can say, well, how could that happen? You know, what must have gone past? And I can just say, look, the rules don't say that a little signal had to go from one particle to the other. The rules just say that every time we get together, we will agree that our two particles were spinning in opposite directions.
Okay. Trouble with words. Then what does entanglement, define entanglement in the quantum world for me?
Well, what entanglement means is that if I have a little system right here in front of me that I'm holding in my hand, according to good old classical mechanics, before quantum mechanics came along, if I knew everything that was going on in that system all by itself, and I didn't bother it, I didn't do anything to it, I could predict what would happen at any future time with that system. But entanglement says that systems are not local. Systems are not described as existing just isolated in some point in space. I can have a system that somehow isn't fully described right here in front of me unless I include its relationship to things very, very far away. Which is fun, arguably spooky, but does not let you send signals faster than the speed of light.
Okay. And in your opinion, never will. It's just weird.
That's right. And, you know, it's not, I don't want to dismiss worrying about it because Einstein worried about it, and Einstein was a smart cookie. But we have, since Einstein, sort of learned to understand the consequences of it better, and we've learned to draw sharper distinctions between a set of words that makes it sound as if something is happening instantaneously and the actual thing that is not allowed, which is sending a signal that could be used to carry information faster than the speed of light. And quantum mechanics allows us to use words as if things were happening instantaneously, but it does not allow us to send information faster than the speed of light.
Okay, but this entanglement is happening faster than the speed of light, yes?
Well, this entanglement exists all over the place. And then we come up with a set of words to describe what will happen if we observe part of the entangled system.
Boy, is this confusing.
Well, I hope so. A lot of smart people bounded their head against the walls for decades trying to figure it out. I hate to say it, but it kind of becomes easier if you can write down some equations. I know that's a completely unhelpful answer, but... We're used to things happening locally. We're used to, you know, if I smack my hand on the desk, sound waves come out from that desk and they move at some speed and it all makes perfect sense to us. Quantum right. mechanics doesn't quite obey those rules. It really says that the state of me here in this room might be entangled, intertwined in some important way
yes.
with the state of something very, very far away in the universe.
Indeed so.
Interesting and fascinating, and I do not want to downgrade the amazingness of that statement, but I do want to point out that you can nevertheless show, using the equations, that you can't use that amazingness to send information faster than the speed of light.
All right. If we develop quantum mechanics, what uses can you imagine as we develop the... as we understand more about this spooky thing?
Well, one of the most exciting, plausible technological developments is what we call quantum computing.
Yes.
So if I have my little particle that is either going clockwise or counterclockwise, in classical mechanics it really is either going clockwise or counterclockwise, but in quantum mechanics it's doing neither. It's described by a probability that it's doing one thing versus the other thing all at once. So that one little spinning particle has a lot more information in it. Instead of being either clockwise or counterclockwise, it has 55% being clockwise, 45% being counterclockwise. So that's a lot more information. And if you then take 20 such particles and they're entangled, what that means is that to describe the entire configuration of 20 particles, you need to tell me what is the probability that particle 1 is doing something if particles 2 through 20 are doing something. And there's a tremendous amount of information required just to say what that is. And what that means, basically, is that instead of a complicated hard disk to have, you know, gigabytes of information on it, you need a couple particles. And by doing doing manipulations on those particles, you can do incredibly complicated calculations quantum mechanically, enormously faster, unimaginably faster than you could do them on a classical computer. And that's an exciting technological development. That's going to be the next quantum leap, if you'll excuse the phrase, in how computers work. They'll be just enormously more powerful once we harness that possibility.
I wonder how a quantum computer developed would compare to the human brain.
The human brain, as amazing as it is relentlessly classical. It does not, as far as anyone knows, and this is, a tiny bit uncertain, but I think there's no reason to think that the human brain takes advantage of quantum mechanical possibilities. Quantum mechanics, even though it's amazing, is also a little bit delicate. If you tend to take this, you know, one of these systems of two particles far away that are entangled with each other and bump into one of them by accident, it all collapses and the entanglement goes away.
Yes.
Our brains are being bumped into all the time, so they remain sort of pure and unentangled. So as far as anyone knows, the human brain just takes advantage of the fact that it's a complicated but relatively mundane system of neurons hooked up together in a very highly interconnected way.
So, Doctor, then you're probably saying that a quantum computer would make a human brain look like an abacus.
Well, it's not a very good comparison, right? I mean, my calculator wristwatch makes me look kind of stupid if you're trying to multiply two five-digit numbers together, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But if I'm trying to cook a nice meal, I will win. So all of these comparisons of raw computing power to the human brain are a little bit misleading. It's not the hardware that is the trick. It's the software.